Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got the Sings All of Her Lines as Song Sarah.
Nope.
Come on.
Rowdy Ryan.
And the Joyfully Joking Jonah.
Yep. And we have the Wordy Wordsmith Will.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show, everybody. Man, I was really hoping. Can we tell that story?
Yeah, I could just go ahead.
Okay. We're just going to start off with a random story. Tonight we're hanging out. Valerie, Ryan's sister, tells me that her best friend growing up's name was Mallory, which of course makes perfect sense. And I said, man, I wish growing up I had a friend named Schnill.
And then everybody made fun of him because it was like, you could have said Gil, you could have said Bill.
Bill. Yeah. Everybody had names that started with that. I think, but see, the thing is, if I win and if I meet a dude named Schnill, I'm going to know. It's a friendship forever.
We're supposed to be besties.
I can't wait. I think, is Ryan, who was giving me, Brian, for my birthday, apparently now is getting me a cutout with a name tag that says, hello, my name is Schnell. Pretty. Can't wait. It's going to be the best birthday. It's going to be my 40th. Speaking of birthdays, today is Pi Day 3.515. That's when we're recording.
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
We celebrated also by having pizza. You just didn't realize. Good.
And then my kid's birthday was also not today.
It is today.
Man.
Wait, what's his birthday?
Today.
What day is this?
It's 40. The 15th.
Oh, pi is 3.14.
It's like 140.
I was like, I'm positive his birthday is 3.1596.
All the digits you know, right? Yeah, I would have said you would, if someone would ask me who in Tantrum House would know the
more,
digits of
but I haven't
pi, I would have said Ryan.
I apparently don't even know past the second one. It but anyway, the, cake
March.
Day.
So,
oh, there we go.
So I do some have to say, my birthday is also Mario Day, which is pretty fantastic.
Mario Day.
What makes it Mario Day?
It's March 10th, and it spells Mario.
March 10th spells
Mario.
M-A-R. Capital I-O, I guess.
Whoa. The I-O spells
Mario. Mar-10. Got it.
Yeah, we're just making Martin. Got it. It's also Martin Day.
What?
It's also...
getting good at making holidays up.
Somebody's birthday. I can't.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
There you go. Can't be forgetting Chuck Norris's birthday.
Yeah, it's also Chuck Norris' birthday.
Sharing it with Sarah, and I think it's maybe Jonah's brother's birthday too.
No,
March?
That's
no.
Lincoln's birthday. Lincoln so shares a birthday. That was last month.
It must be too late.
That was over a month ago.
Woo. I feel like you are 0-3.
Yeah, let's just keep on striking out. Well, let's give the rundown on what we're going to be talking about this episode. We are going to be covering some games coming to Kickstarter. We obviously are missing Kevin and Melissa and Dan and a bunch of other people. And so we'll talk about them behind their backs or something. I don't know. They always like to listen in to the episodes they miss. And then we're also going to be talking about some of our favorite animal-themed or animal-incorporating board games this episode. One of those is, I'm going to guess it's one of them, our episode sponsor. So why don't we just start off by giving a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Starling Games, and their game Everdell is back on Kickstarter with the new Collector's Edition with all of the expansions and content. And it also features two new expansions, New Leaf and Mistwood.
Yeah, those are looking
good. Doing very
also,
well.
Let's talk about the price point on that. I was actually super surprised. Has anyone looked at how much they're charging for the complete collection?
Yeah, it's $199.
$199.
That's
everything.
A steal.
Yeah. Plus the inserts. Yeah,
and it's a steal.
Super cool. I think they just unlocked on Kickstarter. You're listening to this in the future, but they just unlocked the wooden Evertree, which makes perfect sense because after all the plays I have gotten in on my cardboard Evertree, getting to the point where it's going to start showing its age here very soon.
And we keep ours together. We don't put it back in the box unless we take it somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
we just did a live playthrough of everything, minus the new board.
Yeah, then we didn't have the train station board, but we included as much of everything else as we could.
Yeah, yes. And warning, viewer discretion is advised. Do not try this at home.
Because we mashed up all of the expansions that we could, which is not advised in the rules. But we mixed and matched what we wanted to play.
It was fun.
It was an epic game.
It was my first Everdale experience.
Because we had so much going on.
It was just watching. But
the base rules of Everdale are so easy that even by adding new stuff, it's really easy. Like, I'm not confused on the rules at any point.
No, it's just the strategy just becomes difficult.
Yep.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't want your first game to jump into 30,000 things, but
you gotta get
it's
the
not
hang.
Hard to add.
The first game, all you have to do is get the hang of the cards that and the card cost that you can pay other cards for cards. Once you get the hang of that, then you can play the whole game.
And then you definitely do gain with experience the knowledge that, oh, this, I'm looking for this card because the matches for it are valuable and helpful.
Right.
If I can find the card that gets me the free king or the queen, oh, I'm definitely holding on to it.
Yeah, that's the castle. We'll get you the free queen.
Good stuff. And in the new expansion, if you want to check it out, we did play with a lot of the expansion cards. There's a lot of new player powers. We played with all the other expansions as well, so it's all kind of sorted and mixed in there. But if you want to get a good feel for what the Everdale universe, for what the big box collection is going to look like for sure, you can definitely check that out on our YouTube channel. Anything else you guys been playing this week that's been exciting? What's been getting to the table?
Well, we played the new game Secret Neighbor.
Oh yeah,
with our Hello Neighbor, the Secret Neighbor Party game. This was an epic game.
Lie fest.
It was
epic lie fest.
It was the most rousing game, a social deduction game, and ours get intense that I've played in a while. We were jumping out of their seats. Accusing everybody, and Lincoln pulled off a pretty epic win, and we figured out how he. We're like, was he a neighbor? I was the neighbor, and he was the secret neighbor.
Oh,
and we ended up sitting next to one another, and so I was feeding him cards that he needed, but everybody else, I tried to pay attention when everybody else was trading and not paying attention to the two of us. Mm-hmm. I was like, Lincoln, here, you need another magnet, and so I think he had figured out I was the other neighbor, but he had a drink. And so anytime where he realized he was starting to lose it, he would take a drink so you couldn't see his face, which was a really good strategy in one of those games.
It was. I knew he was lying, but I could not convince everybody else to get on board.
Everybody else thought he was
outvoted. I was like, he is the neighbor. I could tell you guys. And they were like, no, I don't think he is. Like 100%. All in favor? And then Lincoln, it was great too, because he was like, he takes the key and he's like, as a kid, yeah, just kidding, I'm the neighbor. It was good.
And the second game we played, Will and Liam.
The first time I've been the neighbor.
Yeah.
Finally.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's super hard.
And Will, it was one of the first times I could tell for sure that Will was lying. Usually it's iffy for me. I could tell for sure.
It was a tough spot because somebody got the three boxes. They look at three people's cards. As soon as I realized which three people they picked, I was like, oh, shoot. None of those people are neighbors, which means it's literally not the guy looking, not the three people he's looking at. It's got to be me and Liam. And I was like, oh, we're hosed. Yeah. So I was trying to get him like, oh, maybe you should look at Mike. Try to figure out like whose card he should look at instead just to shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It was too late already at that point. And then he was like, okay, I have really great information. And I was like, you're lying. You got to be lying.
Yeah, it's like, it's tough.
No recovery.
It's tough.
Yeah, we had a friend from Tantrum Con and his son able to come visit for the weekend, Chris Korfman. So
yeah, shout out to Chris.
It was a good time for Liam to have one friend over for his birthday. So we had a great time.
Yeah,
played some extra games.
They actually came over to my house before they visited you guys.
Oh, you win.
Order of priority.
Yes.
Right? And we played the Minesweeper board game.
Minesweeper board game?
Yeah. It was not Minesweeper.
Minecraft.
Excuse me. Minecraft.
Okay.
Much different video game. But I was surprised because a lot of games that are based off of video games or just IPs in general, you can tell it's like we have this IP, we need to make a game
about
it.
Mass marketed.
But this one actually was pretty good.
Mm.
Each turn, you can like either move and reveal a tile, or you can pick up a weapon if you've revealed it, or you can redeem resources to collect one of the land tiles, or if there's an enemy out there, you can use some of your weapons to attack them and get victory points. And the enemies that you attack also will have, like, victory point modifiers, where the more you have of a certain symbol, the more points you get. And then the last thing you can do is grab some cubes off of this thing that you gradually mine down. So it goes for 3 rounds. Each round is a layer of this stack of cubes. So you can dig really deep into the stack of cubes and not cause the next round. It's just whenever everything on the top layer is gone. So you could potentially remove, like, all of the cubes in the game. What is it? It's a 4x4x4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do the math, but it's a lot of cubes. So you could end up with only 4 cubes left, you know, if you just never touch
right?
The one stack and then just do round. Anytime a round ends, you score, but what you score changes. So the first time it's what color or like terrain you're on. So like mm-hmm. snow, desert, forest, that sort of thing. And then the next round is maybe it's like what's in that terrain. I forget if it's like trees or I don't know. It's another symbol. And the last one's like what building type it is. You know, is it a zoo or a stable or something like that? So you're trying to work on multiple means of scoring points at the same time. Also, if you defeat those enemies, they like some of your bonuses, but not others. And you're trying not to cover up what you've already put down. It can be kind of cutthroat. The young one, Christopher, he was just fighting enemies and he got really high in his points. But because he was just fighting enemies, he didn't get the bonus points from defeating the enemies, which his dad did.
Yeah, sneaking in.
So, yeah, his dad swooped in. I think he beat all of us by like 50 points.
Ooh, oh,
was
wow.
ridiculous. Sounds yeah, like that was pretty fun.
Everdell win.
No, it doesn't sound like that.
It sounds exactly like my Everdell win. Go back and watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, and then I've got 2 videos that should be out by the time this airs. There's one for Dragon. Almanac the Dragon Road that I did with Dan. That was a really fun game. I liked it a lot because you're like merchants that are collecting different resources and then selling them and building additional carts on your caravan. And you're going through this this book, and each turn, at the end of each round, whoever is leading the caravans gets to decide what location you go to next. And so you'll flip to a different page. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure.
That's cool.
Interesting.
Each page has a different theme. So maybe you're floating down a river and you can only go further downstream with your workers trading and stuff. You can't ever go back up from where you came. Or maybe you're at some pyramids and you're like building up on the pyramid, so you need support wherever you are. Or maybe you are crossing a chasm with a bridge and you can only go in the next, you're like building the bridge, so you can only go in the next space after someone has gone in the space before. So it makes it kind of tricky because you might want a space, but it's not going to be available to you until like 4 turns later or something. So you need to plan out, do I set this here and allow somebody else to get it, or do I try to take something less and hope that they go there to set me up for it, that sort of thing. And then each map also, other than the theme of how you place, also has a bonus that's possible. So it might be like you can purchase a camel that joins in, or you hire some tourists, or not hire, but you get hired by tourists mm-hmm. to go through, and every maps tile, they'll give you some gold that you can use towards buying stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. The art was really cool, and I really enjoyed it. And then the last game that I got to play recently that I want to talk about is called Caritos. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. It's from, I think the company is called MOBA. Mm-hmm. They're based in Portugal, and it is, the theme is, there's this festival in northern Portugal I'm not going to even attempt what it is called because I'm going to slaughter it. But there's these characters, there's villagers that will dress up in these really elaborate quilted monster costumes with these strange masks that they wear. And I guess they're called caritos, and that has something to do with the mask. And they basically go around and like scare people and frighten them and stuff. So in this game, you don't actually play as the caritos, but sometimes you can control them. You play as other monsters. So you might be the shepherdess of wolves or the werewolf or a witch or a princess that lures men to their deaths. Mm-hmm. Or there's this guy named Trevor who's like a fox elf thing.
Or you might be Trevor.
Every game I played had Trevor in it, and he was so frustrating. That's He's funny. Like this little elfin guy that's really annoying to play against. I never got to play as him yet. But the thing is you're on this map, and there's villagers that are all congregated together in different village centers, and you take your monsters and you bust into the village and you scatter the villagers out. And they go you take like a handful of them and you go clockwise on each path, setting them on a new location. So some of them might end up by themselves, some might form new groups, and then you try to get your other monster or that monster on a later turn to go over the lone ones and snatch them up. And then whoever has the most villagers at the end wins. But the trick is there's also these caritos out there. If they get a villager, it's removed from the game. And if they come over your monster gets sent to this cauldron or something. It's like a prison. And you have to spend some resources to get them out later. So it's really tricky. Because when you're like me and you're like, okay, what's the most points I can get right now? That is not the mindset you should be doing.
Yeah.
Because you have to set yourself up to get points later. So one of the things I had was an end game bonus for most yellow villagers. So I'd go into a village, scatter all the yellow villagers, but I wouldn't be able to collect them that turn. And then by the time it came back to my turn, they had already regrouped up into another group. So I was constantly scaring the same villagers. I needed to think more in the future, like what do progressing, you know, series of steps do I need to do in order to get these guys?
So interesting.
It was a little difficult for me. So you need to kind of have you have two monsters, so you have to have them kind of work in tandem to get what you want done. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Check out our video to see more about it.
One other thing you need to go check out is our board game news show. Jonah and I put together a news show every other week, every
sure
Monday. If you missed last week's, you may have missed your opportunity to be a competitor in our board game bracket. But you can still join along and vote. We definitely want to get your opinions on which game should win each of the games in our brackets. We'll be posting those on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and give you an opportunity to vote. We've received, how many would you say, hundreds of brackets now?
We're almost to 100.
Almost to 100. 100 competitors
in
our contest.
And there's still several days left.
Yeah, this is early.
This is crunch time right here.
Right.
I haven't even filled out my actual...
Yeah, I haven't either.
Basketball or board game? Have you filled out? Are you going to fill out a board game bracket?
Oh,
of course.
Board game
you
bracket?
Have to.
Yeah, we have to. I'll fill out one.
We are going to be giving away a game of the player's choice. Whoever returns in the best bracket gets the closest, is the most complete in theirs. They'll get to choose from the final four games what they'd like to win. But it's been a lot of fun to put together some videos for it. They've been fun videos to watch, so check those out. I think you'll enjoy them. One of the other games that we talked about in our board game news segment is a new game coming from Blue Orange called Block Ness, like the Block Ness monster. And I got a chance to play that with our boys this past week, which was a lot of fun. In the game, you have a board that has a bunch of like punch holes in it, and you are using different colored plastic Loch Ness monster shaped pieces.
Oh, like that one picture that is floating in the water of its head sticking out of the water.
Right. So like
yes.
You have a headpiece and
that
a tailpiece.
That one shadow from 50 years ago. That
Yeah, and then you have all these different colored, different shaped body pieces. And basically on your turn, you just have to place one that connects from your head. You extend your tail or your head and add this new piece to the board. But the board gets really tight really quick. And so instead of just placing on empty spaces, you're actually going over top of other Loch Ness monsters that are in the lake with you.
So they're like weaving over top of one another.
Right. So the board looks really cool when you're done with it. But you get down to those last couple, three, four turns and you're like, oh, no, I already spent my three high, two wide piece. And I'm only left with this piece. Where can I fit it? And can I still go over top of Liam's body and still have enough room for mine and set myself up for my next turn? Because basically it boils down to whoever can't place one of the pieces, I can't remember if they trigger the end game or if they're just out, and then whoever has the fewest pieces remain, or the most pieces remaining, something like that, you win the game, basically, if you did the best job of placing your pieces on the board. And it was fun. We played a four-player game. The board was very full, and it just looks really, really cool because it looks like a bunch of brightly colored Loch Ness monsters all tangled up with one another at the end of the game. All right, well, let's jump from here into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode will be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the weeks of March 22nd through the end of the month. So, Ryan, go ahead and start us off.
Yeah, so first, I would like to briefly mention Sentinels of the Multiverse Definitive Edition. This is from Greater Than Games, and it's coming March 30th. It is the Definitive Edition. Mm-hmm. My idea of what they're trying to do here is basically Sentinels of the Multiverse 2.0. So they've gone back into it, and the parts of it that were kind of clunky, like having to add all sorts of additional modifiers and keep track of all sorts of tokens and stuff, it works really well in the app, but not in the game that it comes from. Mm-hmm. So they tried to smooth out some of these things and have it just have a lot faster play. And I don't think the Definitive Edition includes all of the expansion material that they've done, but it does include several of the heroes. I think I read that it was 12 heroes, so it's a good amount. And you're just doing your deck builder thing. Each hero has their own sort of engine that they focus on. So you might be focusing on getting specific equipment out there, or like Bunker, where you're trying to get several cards out so that you can build up your power and then do like an alpha strike all at once late game. And then there's others in there that they can do steady damage the entire time. So you're going to have a lot of fun with it, I think. Definitely check it out on March 30th, Sentinels of the Multiverse Definitive Edition. Mm-hmm. Jonah, what do you got?
Yeah, so I'm talking about a game coming out, March 31st. And this is The Girl Who Made the Stars from Final Frontier Games.
I think it's a group of games.
A group of games.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's one of them, The Girl Who Made the Stars.
And the other one is
Solani.
And they're both, if I had to say, they're both aesthetically pleasing games from what I've seen so far. We actually got a chance to play Solani. Did you play it with us, Will?
I didn't play with you, but I played it the next day.
Oh,
with actual scoring at the end.
Okay, we played without actual. So a lot of times, if you guys don't know at home, we get prototype games. So sometimes they come with incomplete rules or incomplete components, whatever. But we still try to play them because they're fun games and we want to get them to the table. So we actually did play Solani without one scoring component. And we had such a good time playing it that we actually played the entire game knowing we did not know how to score. We knew we didn't know how to score very early. Like one turn in, we knew we didn't know how to score. And we just played the rest of it.
We'll just keep playing. Yeah, it was a puzzle. This is enjoyable.
Yeah, it was a good puzzle game. You're playing with like stars and planets, basically. And planets are circles, so they can go in the circle spaces. And stars are like the connectors, basically. And they can go on connector spaces. They're just not shaped like a circle. And then if you get a planet, you got to place it by a connector. If you get a connector, you got to place it by a planet. And you're just trying to connect as many stars to the planet as you can. Well, that's the version that I played without the scoring because we knew the planet scored, but we didn't know how they scored. And so we just played this connect game That was very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, it probably didn't change it too much. So when we did play it, it's an abstract strategy game where it's tile placement. Your random tiles are coming out each round, different number of stars that you're choosing from. And you can also exchange a star for a planet, if you, especially if you don't have the right number of connectors or for whatever reason you might want to. The planet score, what's it called? When, like, if you have one, it's worth 0 points. If you have two, it's worth 3 points. If you have three, it's worth 7 points. If you have four,
sliding scale.
That is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Sure. And so that's what it is. So 1, 3, seven, nine.
So we played it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. We just didn't know the sliding scale. I will say we played this whole game not knowing how to score, and then Sarah still tried to win. She was like, hold on, let's count. And I was like, we didn't know how to score this. She was like, but look, I did so well.
Yeah, it's got, is it like a Native American theme artwork too? And creation. Real beautiful looking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's very good. So
it's an interesting story behind it. I didn't know this. Like, I guess I haven't studied Navajo history very well. It's the story is they, the beginning of creation, they put out these pieces on their rug, and that's what your player board is. And then the coyote comes and snags the rug, and all the pieces just fly into the air, and it becomes the Milky Way, which is interesting. I had never heard that story before.
Oh, interesting.
So that's what you're doing. You're just placing all these pieces very intricately on your player
weaving
board.
Weaving the galaxies together.
Weaving the galaxies. There you go.
Yeah. So that was Solani. And again, the girl that I was chatting about was the girl who made The Stars, which is another tile-laying game based on a San African myth about the creation of the stars as well. Again, that's coming from Final Frontier Games at the end of the month. I believe it's March 31st. Will, what are you looking at?
So I'm looking at the game Fjords, which is from Grail Games. It's actually a reprint of an earlier edition with new art from Beth Sobel, as well as a bunch of new gameplay expansions from Phil Harder Walking. Phil Walking. I just can't talk tonight. Words are not coming out. Phil Walker Harding. The game will expand to be a four-player game, so it'll be a 2 to 4 player game. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes, and it's a tile placement game where you'll be, there's basically two phases to the game. You'll explore first by laying hex-based landscape tiles out onto the board, and then once those are out, you'll be traveling across those, and you'll be collecting things and claiming plains and cliffs and things as you go throughout the game. But the new content will feature, I think it's like six or something, five new variants and modules that you can add to the existing game. And it looks really sharp. I have not played the original Fjords, but this is a reprint coming to Kickstarter soon. And so definitely check that one out from Grail Games. Sarah, what else are you looking at?
Portal Games is bringing Robinson Crusoe back to Kickstarter with a collector's edition as well as a new expansion. I'm guessing that'll be a pretty decent sized Kickstarter. There's a lot of people very interested in that game. It is a difficult, I have not played it, but I've heard it is a difficult game. So that is Robinson Crusoe coming to Kickstarter from Portal Games. As well as another one I'm talking about is Mythic Battles Ragnarok. This is from Monolith. And this is another game in this series. You are taking control of the Norse gods and battling out different things that happen. And this is a 2 to 4 player adventure skirmish game. I'm guessing this will also be a decent-sized Kickstarter. I've seen quite a bit of advertising on social media. So this is re-implementing their original Mythic Battles game and adding some new things to it. That is Mythic Battles Ragnarok, coming from Monolith.
All right, so coming March 23rd. Sorry, I was expecting a... So coming March 23rd from Pencil First Games is Floriferous. I think we have a video coming out for this one.
We do.
Because I have, in fact, played this game. So
tell us what you think.
It was a really good game. It was kind of a point salad, but I don't know if it was quite a point salad. Let me get into it. So... there are 5 rows of cards, and you play 3 rounds where each round you travel across the 5 columns of cards and pick a card from the column. The higher up you pick, the earlier you pick the next turn. So if you pick the highest one in the column, you'll be the first person to pick next time. But there is some benefits to picking later because the lower down you go, the more likely there will be a stone on the card. Each stone, I think every two stones is worth a point at the end of the game. At the very bottom of the columns are these cards. I think they're called desire cards. Or maybe they're called abundance cards, one or the other. I think they're desire cards. Anyway, these are point multipliers. So like for every yellow flower that you collect, you might get an additional point or two or something like that. Or for every bug of a specific type or every different type of bug, you might get points. So you're trying to collect these different cards, and each one has either flowers on them or flowers and bugs, or they might be like a pedestal statue sculpture type thing. And the sculptures are just straight up, the more sculptures you collect, the more points you get. But the flowers, you use those to redeem these different sets that you try to do. Up at the top, there's points, and those are the other one, the abundance cards. So this card might want you to get a lily and a poppy and like a ladybug or something. So you're going through and trying to find those symbols on the cards. But meanwhile, everybody else is also trying to do that. And the earlier you complete that set, the more points you get. So you're trying to complete the sets before everybody else, but also you're trying to vie for the best position so that you can pick earlier the next time, but also you're trying to get the cards to give you a bunch of points. So there's a lot of interesting decisions. You know, do I go high so I can do better next turn, or do I go low so I can get some points? It was quite difficult. And, oh, some of the cards at the very top row are turned over, so you don't even know what they are. You're just like, I'm picking the first turn for the first person to go the next turn, but I don't even know what this card is. You go through it three times. I think it's like 3 years or 3 weeks or something. And each round that you go through, you can spend one of these special ability cards that let you manipulate what's out there. So you can either change the order of a row or change the order of a column. It gets really thinky when you know like how you can manipulate it and what you can do. It's a pretty good game. And it looks really cool, too. I mean, it's very flowery, floriferous, as it were. So,
as it were.
I really enjoyed it.
Is that the adjective for something that looks like a flower?
I don't know. But
I don't know if it's a real word or if it's a...
Well, we'll look it up and get back to you. But... Floriferous, check it out on Kickstarter March 23rd.
Excellent stuff. All right, so we've talked about flowers. Let's talk about animals. We are, episode sponsor again is Everdell. Their Kickstarter is going on right now. They have some of the coolest meeples out there. So many, with all the expansions they have, there are so many animal critter meeples to choose from that you pretty much can't go wrong. I can't even imagine. Actually.
From Everdell. What was it, Sarah?
An axolotl.
Yep, that one.
That
my
one.
Son wants one as a pet.
An axolotl.
Also, floriferous is never a word. It's an adjective meaning with many flowers.
Boom!
Yeah, of a plant producing many flowers.
Way to go.
It's a very floriferous plant.
I bet axolotls.
But back to axolotls.
Axolotls are floriferous.
Actually, they kind of are. Their faces are kind of shaped
They're kind of like little salamander newt type animals
like
that live
gills
in,
that stick out of the side.
But the gills look like
why did you guys know about this animal?
It's a,
because I have boys.
It's a Google internet thing. There's a video of one playing the piano. It's great.
What? Of an axolotl playing
I don't think it's really playing
it's
the piano, but
it's animated.
You guys just
it's
Google
an animated
that
cartoon.
Oh.
It's funny.
Is there a platypus?
There is a platypus in the game. Yeah, yes.
I would think that I'd have to put Everdell very, very high. Like top two, and it's probably not number two of games with an animal theme.
Yeah, wow. So it's hard to even know what the definition of animal-themed games is. This is one of those cases where Kevin set us up and he's like, oh, I got a great idea. Let's talk about this. And then he didn't show up to define it for us. Because I feel like, are we including like dragons and dinosaurs and unicorns? Like, is that included in animal-themed games? Or is that like that's a whole different level?
That's a different, that's mythical games.
Mythical.
So mythical is its own category because there's so many of them in board gaming.
So Trogdor the Burninator doesn't count as a great animal-themed game.
No. It would be a high on the list, but not on this list, there's, I would say.
Thatched roof cottages and...
No, I don't think so.
Peasants.
I'm going to give Wingspan very high on
is
that
list, the number
too.
Two?
Yeah,
in the
it's
Everdale,
probably top
number
two.
One and two?
And it's probably number two, yeah.
Yep, I think that's got to be pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
How about
I just have to say,
I wouldn't be mad at anyone who switched that order. Either.
No, I'd be okay with that. Everyone's, it's a good opinion to have either way.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where Wingspan technically is animal themed. Everdale is a mystical forest creatures who happen to also be animals.
Is animals. So therefore it is animal
animals
themed.
Living
all right, how
under
about this
the
one?
Everdale
how about
tree.
Caverna. You got goats and sheep and cows.
It could be an animal game, but it's farming. Yeah.
Yeah,
farming.
I think animals are incidental to that game. They aren't.
You're farming animals.
Yeah, well, you can't farm other things.
Crops.
Like, farm crops.
Like your crops, Will.
And
right.
The other resources in the game.
No, I would give Caverna, but I'm not going to rate it higher than Everdale or Wingspan.
Oh, so we're looking for the number three game right now? Is that what's happening?
Mariposas.
Mariposas. Butterflies are technically not animals.
What?
They're insects.
Is this true?
I also put it lower on my list anyway.
As far as theme?
Insects are animals.
Are animals?
Oh, we just
can't hear anything right.
As far as theme.
Theme?
Animal themed.
I enjoy the story behind Mariposas, even though I prefer the gameplay of other games a little bit more just because it's a little more too gateway for my personal gaming preferences, but I still enjoy playing Mariposas.
I assume Sarah's number three is actually Calico.
I haven't played it.
My number one
is it even
might be
is it even is it even cat themed?
It is.
It seems like
it
what is.
Is
on the tiles?
It's a little more quilt.
You're making the quilts for the
quilts?
Cats. To come sit on.
You
are there
scoring,
cats in the game?
There are.
Yes.
You're scoring cat
there are
patterns,
three different kinds
cat
toys.
Of
toys. Okay.
There's no cat
that
toys.
That would be your number one? That's
things.
Over
well,
Everdale or Wingspan.
If I'm just going by the game,
this
yes.
This is why we can't trust your list.
But if we're going by the theme of the game,
you would rate Calico over Wingspan and Everdale?
If you were just going by the game mechanics, yes.
Wow.
No, yes. I'm on Joe the theme.
That
this
is
one.
Very interesting.
It is. It's probably number three.
It's
but
because
it's
tile laying for me. That's what it is. Wow. Everdale, I really hate when like this
what
past game,
cards?
I don't get the cards I need to start off with and I cannot get matches even though I'm just cycling through lots of cards.
What if the cards in Wingspan were just tiles?
Might change a lot of things, Will.
No change.
I mean,
too much. That's
cardboard.
A new game.
Same game, just cardboard. Is it?
What about this? Ice Cool.
That's up there.
Is that animal themed?
Yeah.
It is,
it
most
is.
Definitely.
Okay.
Penguins going to school.
Sliding on the ice.
Lots of fun.
Yep.
A new one that's coming out is Creature Comforts.
Ooh.
Which is actually...
That actually might be my number two.
Pretty similarly themed to Everdale. Like cute animals wearing clothes, scoring points in the woods, getting ready for winter.
Yep. Mm.
That could probably be a whole category of itself, just winter preparation games.
Ooh. Winter preparation games. You couldn't put any fish games in there, like oceans.
That's true. This would be a different game.
It's just automatically out.
Yep.
Ocean has those little Nemos.
They do.
That look
that's
pretty
a good.
There's
a good animal
million
theme.
Of them.
There is. There are.
But they look good.
There were. Mm-hmm. There was. I don't know which one's left.
Nemo made it through three movies. He's here. Three movies?
He's sticking around.
Movies.
I mean, he's probably got like a direct to TV
Finding
movie.
Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo 2. And then
Finding
Dory.
And then Finding Yourself. A self-help.
With Nemo.
Marlon.
Your narrator.
Perfect.
Don't touch the butt.
Besides, so we decided that mythical creatures could exist in the animal thing?
No.
I think we said no. Well.
We said no.
What if there are some creatures that are real?
Like
Cubitos, definitely got.
I don't think that counts as an animal game.
Those
for
are
me.
Like cats. Cheese.
I mean, the one is cheese, but there's like cats,
cheese is
dogs.
Not an animal.
There's plenty of actual real animals that
no,
are square shaped.
I feel like that's a fringe type.
It's a dragon thing.
The purple one is.
Pretty
yeah,
sure.
It's a dinosaur. It's a dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Red,
red is a sword.
It's a sword.
So, I don't know what the red. Yeah, no, I don't count keep
cats, dogs. Other things.
I'm gonna go ahead and say no on
can't
that.
Can't remember what the other things
for an
are.
Animal theme.
This one doesn't count based on the mythical
criteria
stuff.
So far.
And there's also like elves and tree people in it. But the game that I like the animal character drawings the most is By Order of the Queen from Junk Spirit Games because
oh, yeah.
It's got these cute like toad
the
people.
Crazy, yeah,
and there's like a badger person and an owl bear.
I haven't
and
played
like
Order of the King in a long time.
Dudes.
Have we
know.
Gotten a Chronicles of cool. Narnia board game?
Hmm.
It might be.
What?
That would be so good. Aslan?
I don't know that there is one.
He'd be pretty powerful.
Who's waiting on that? Where's that game at?
What? Disney is holding the IP.
Thanks,
probably.
Disney.
I don't know.
But we've got
they're selling the rest of their IPs.
From other oh, yeah, Disney they, stuff.
I think the Lewis Estate. C.S. Lewis.
I remember something
they're
about
very, very tight-fisted.
Unless it was
IP.
Amazing. I mean, we've got good Lord of the Rings and other fantasy genre games.
Well, Lord of the Rings isn't C.S. Lewis, though.
I know
you
it's not, but there
are
they
like
just buddies.
Normal kids, and then you'd have to like level up to actually go through the wardrobe. And then if you got through the wardrobe first, and you could like
get extra bonuses with the queen.
Yeah.
All right, game
and, like,
designers
is, like,
who's listening.
Well, London.
See, it's a trap if you go through first because Turkish Delight isn't actually that good.
It doesn't even look that good.
I've had Turkish Delight, real Turkish Delight from Turkey.
I've had it too.
Was it better than the kind that you buy at CVS?
For sure.
Will. Why is that even a question?
My stepdad was stationed in Turkey for a few years, so he brought Turkish Delight back, and it is not as good as you
think. There we go. Yeah.
It's
not that
very
much better
powdery.
Than CVS.
Yeah.
Very.
So back to the subject. two animal themed games that I keep hearing about, but I've never gotten a chance to play. Root. I understand that's
Root.
Animal themed. Haven't played it yet. It's on my wish list. Haven't gotten to it. And then the thing that's been on my wish list probably the longest. I don't know. If there's a longer game, Mice and Mystics. I've just always wanted to play that game. Hasn't happened. I don't even know if they.
I'm
still
in a similar boat.
It.
Those minis look super cool. The concept for it is great.
Yeah.
I've also not played it.
Yeah, my understanding is it's kind of like Redwall. I guess I was really
story-wise.
Into Redwall. Yeah, the books, whatever. When I was a
I don't
kid.
Know if there's a board game. Redwall.
So like, I understand that those even Everdell is kind of Redwall-ish. Like that whole
characters making cool
is
stuff.
Like my jam. When I was a kid, I don't know if it is now, but I'd like to relive those days.
My Mystics does look cool. I would definitely put
small
that on my to playlist.
I
enjoy the artwork of Root. I love that the animals have little shifty eyes and they're all attacking each other.
Did you see that I think another stretch goal on the Everdell one was stickers for all your meeples so that all of your characters now look. Like, have full art on them, which is pretty cool. Instead of just meeples.
That stuff for me is too much because if I mess up one sticker, I'm just so frustrated.
You have to just let Sarah do it. She's like meticulous in her
so frustrated because it's the one. And it's, I mean, of course, you're going to start with the color you love most. So I was like, I'm going to play
see, that's
these
where
every
you started
time.
Off wrong.
And then you mess up one, and now you're just like, no.
Can never use blue again.
Never
this crow is upside down.
You start with the blue, which is Will's player, and then you come back to mine once you got it down.
Yeah, it looks cool. The artwork for it, though, is like, it's not even identical. Like, even though you have six identical meeples, like every illustration, every sticker is like a slightly different vest on the character or something like that. It looks gorgeous.
I feel like they're going to hit that stuff. They're doing really well.
They are, for sure. I think we've definitely talked about some of the top ones. One other one, these are real-life dinosaurs, not fake ones, is Fossilis, which is a pretty slick game.
Dinosaur World isn't quite real dinosaurs, but it's...
What's the one from 25th Century Games that's also dinosaur-themed, where you're excavating stuff?
Jurassic Parts.
That's it. That was more about people digging up bones. I guess that one maybe doesn't count.
Yeah, another...
People are animals, though.
No, they're not.
I do not think so.
Scientifically.
I do not think that is correct.
another animal game is Koi. That is a relaxing game.
It is. Got some
putting
Zen going on.
Little your koi pond, little frogs and other dragonflies flying around.
A fun, energetic one is Good Critters from Arcane Wonders. That one is like a social, not really social deduction, kind of party game where you're trying to get the most loot and everybody's got cool-looking mobster animal characters, which is fun.
Did we mention Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner?
That's a good one. Yeah. Chickens everywhere.
Chickens.
And foxes and dogs. Mm-hmm. It's a cool one.
That
Man,
was a fun.
So many good options.
I can't believe my idea of Winner, Winner, Turkey Dinner didn't come to fruition.
As an expansion yet?
Around Thanksgiving time.
Yep.
Missed, somebody needs to represent for missed Thanksgiving opportunity. Games.
Thanksgiving games. I feel like not Creature enough Comforts can not work enough. As a Thanksgiving game. It's about making soup and knitting warm socks for winter. You'd want to play that around Thanksgiving.
Do animals celebrate Thanksgiving? Are they like,
I feel like,
hey, I'm getting eaten.
Everyone but turkeys.
Everybody but turkeys. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Probably not pigs either.
Yeah, I feel like there's several animals that are not. Like quail, pheasants, those are also popular. Yeah, ham. Yeah.
I don't think they're celebrating.
Different celebration for them. More like a funeral for them.
Oh, it's too much.
It went dark real quick.
It did. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hopefully we've said some of your favorite animal-themed board games. And if we haven't, let us know. You can always shoot us an email. Shoot it to Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at tangerouse.com. Sarah can do the prizes. Ryan can do the you sent me your favorite animal theme game.
Yeah.
And he'll be happy to reply with an RPG-based session on the animal that you sent to him.
Right. As long as it's an axolotl. Or
that's right.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great week. We'll look forward to catching up with you in the next one.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Did we not talk about the final episode of WandaVision on
it.
The podcast yet?
We did not.
This is like the secret credits at the end of the episode. We didn't even splash that we were going to play, that we were going to talk WandaVision.
But you could tell that there was an extra probably 30
Hopefully
minutes that we're going to sit and talk about.
30 minutes.
Okay, maybe not that long, but you
episode.
Could tell there was more than just the credits.
It
was like starting the WandaVision credits where you look and you're like, oh, there's like 10 minutes. Left. Oh, this is just credits. Oh, wait, there's that one
but
final scene.
Marvel hasn't gotten me in years. I know there's an after credit scene. Think about when movie theaters were open. I know that's a long time ago for us. And then people walk out like you're already to like Thor 2 and people
right?
are leaving.
Yes.
And you know what you're thinking. Do
Why
you
are
not
you
know?
Down?
Does,
what
anyone,
are you...
does anyone not know? You cannot leave.
Now, maybe these people,
Very
this is
true.
Their third watch. I'd still be sitting there
not
watching the end.
The thing about it for me is, no, I don't believe it. Because if Marvel came out with the movie, I was watching it very soon to when it came
That's
out.
That's true.
If it came out Thursday night at midnight,
it's
I'm
Friday night.
Watching
I'm
it
there.
Friday night.
If
so
it didn't
I
go
know
Thursday
you
night.
Haven't watched
yeah.
it. 100, like, you're leaving in the middle of the credits. I don't get it. But anyway, my thoughts on WandaVision.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Ship of Theseus for a little while.
Is that the okay. is that the final episode or is that the one before? I feel
it's
like that was too bad.
Episode.
That's the final one? I can't keep track of what happened in the final one.
Is it still a ship if all the wood is rotten and then they replace the wood?
This is a great yes. question. I think it's not. I think once you replace that last splinter, it's not the same. It's not anymore. It's just a representation of a thing that used to be.
So that's an interesting question because technically, like every so many weeks or months or I don't know how long. I think it's different depending on whether it's like bone or blood cells
what are we talking
or whatever.
About?
But like you aren't the you from like 2 years ago or whatever, right?
Even two?
Like
let's Google this.
Your cells are not the same cells, but yet you are still you.
Is it not the ship of Theseus once Theseus dies? Doesn't step foot on the ship anymore?
I don't know about that.
All right, then. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fact that they brought Vision. They basically just brought Vision back.
Let's talk about that it does take 7 years for your body to fully replace itself, which is the same amount of time it takes for gum to digest, according to my mom. Are those two related? Is that?
I think it is.
The gum just goes out with your whole body.
It's also when your taste buds change too. Man, just makes sense.
It all comes together now. I'd like to think there's some part of me that's still 39 years old. This cuticle. Okay. Okay, so back to WandaVision. Yeah, I thought it was a great wrap up. I liked that they didn't leave too many things outstanding and hanging in the, you know, like what's going on. I found the outfit to be great.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I think the Scarlet Witch outfit.
Yeah, the mask thing.
Go ahead.
Was great. I loved that it was like non-tangible. I don't know what the word is. Like electrically added to her head as the Scarlet Witch, which I thought was a cool addition. I don't know what you want to call that.
Mystically?
Mystic, magically. It was magically added to her head as like a show of her energy powers. And I also super liked that when the bubble burst at the end, like everything returned back to normal, including the ice cream trucks and stuff like that.
Let's talk about Agatha. How did she trap Agatha in there, but then the whole world went back to normal?
Was Agatha just playing along? Oh, you mean at the end?
At the end.
Yeah, at the end she like permanently...
She said, I'm going to give you the role that you chose. Nosy neighbor. Bing! Agatha's the nosy neighbor.
Yeah, but now she's only controlling one person.
But then the world went back.
I think it's...
She's still like a 2021 nosy neighbor. She just lives there and just thinks. She just has no idea.
Or whatever.
Yeah, she just has no idea that her previous life
existed.
Did it make
sense?
But did you notice how she was like, maybe we'll see each other again?
Yeah, you'll meet me. Well, of course. We knew that was going to happen.
Right?
I did appreciate that she wasn't like the overarching boss
bad guy
of the thing. She was more of a mini boss.
Yeah, she like snuck in.
Yeah.
The overarching boss was like grief. Or something like that.
Yes.
That was
trauma.
I liked the divergence from your typical sky beam destroying the world type story
that
Marvel replays.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's rumors that she will be a villain or at least contribute to
Agatha?
No, Wanda.
Oh, I believe I believe that she's gonna go a little bit bad coming up here.
A little bit. She's already a little crazy. A
little
bit more.
She was grief-stricken.
Grief-stricken crazy.
I don't know that she was necessarily crazy. I think it...
She took an entire city over and controlled their minds. She definitely...
But it wasn't just her doing all of...
Oh,
I mean...
Okay, if I'm sad, I can just...
Out of grief... You know what? The first step is grief, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I don't think it is.
Second is admitting you have a problem.
Why did they bring Vision back? Does anyone like Vision? I would really like to know.
Well, I think they realized how powerful he was.
Who cares? A fake Vision brought back real Vision. We didn't like Vision in the first place. They keep killing the people we like, and they keep bringing back the people we don't care about.
See, I do like Paul Bettany as an actor, and I liked Jarvis.
I didn't care
for him becoming Vision as much because Vision, the original Vision, was too much of the invulnerable Superman character. And I don't think that's a compelling character because they're just all powerful. You know, what powers do you have? All of them, you know. So
Vision
he's just not as interesting.
Anything in Marvel.
But now that he's...
Besides comeback.
Right.
Now that he's the double Vision or whatever, it
double
makes a more
vision.
Compelling thing because he's got conflict like, am I Vision? Am I real?
Perfect year.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I am Vision. So now he's like got all the knowledge, all the memories. He's got all the power. Now he doesn't have the Mind Stone, so he can't... It's ridiculous. You brought back... We don't care about Vision. Who cares about him?
I did like, to Ryan's point, that because he was the invulnerable superhero character, I liked that him having to sacrifice himself in order to keep...
himself.
Well, to keep Thanos from taking over the world was like the thing to do with him. So it was like a kind of an obvious solution to the, I can't kill him myself because I have to kill myself to kill him. It was a little dumb. I agree. But I did like that it wasn't just the Superman, I'm super powerful, I can do everything.
I also thought it was funny that Paul Bettany trolled us all at the beginning of the series when he
was
interviewed.
That was funny.
And he said, I'm really excited because I get to play against somebody I've really wanted to for a long time.
I've always admired himself.
Yeah.
I liked the perfect pose that was like, it was definitely
the gym.
I don't know about that. Goodness, what is the name of The Incredibles?
Oh,
I loved how they did like the family pose. It was exactly like The Incredibles, where they're all like, "Okay, everybody's ready. Dad is tall in the background, and two kids and mom. Let's go save the day."
That was
good action. I liked that a lot. I have a question. Someone else posed this to me, which is a great question. At the end, what's the main general boss man guy's name? Bad guy.
Anybody? Arrested.
Harding. Is that what his name is? I don't know what his name is.
Yes.
What? Why was he arrested? What did he do?
Because
that was bad.
The Asian guy was with the FBI,
right?
Not with whoever he was with.
Sword.
And he called the FBI to come get him because he brought back Vision, which was not what you're supposed to do.
They touched on it early in like one of the very first episodes, the first one with Monica, where she goes into the Sword facility and she's like, "Sword, that's Sentinel Weapons observation something," and then she's like, "But you're not just observing them, you're building them. Like, that's not what you're supposed to be doing." And he took it too far.
They say it in the last episode.
Isn't his whole job to like?
And he was like, "Oh, they won't arrest me because once they come back, they'll think Wanda brought back Vision, not me." And he was like, "That okay? That's what you think." And then
his job wasn't supposed to make a new paid the big bucks to make a new super warrior.
He made a weapon of mass destruction, pretty much.
I think that's what his company does. Just saying.
I don't think that's what it was supposed to do.
Bring back somebody we want. How about that?
I thought it was great. So we've got a week off, and maybe not even a week in our time, and then Winter Soldier and
if you're not paying attention to the Marvel Legends, the other show.
The Legends show?
Yes.
Is that the preview things?
Those are good. Those are
four
really
of them
good.
For the next show coming
Have you seen those, Ryan?
No. Four for the next no. or just oh. two and two new ones?
So,
oh, I got to check back
four
in.
Four.
I watched two of them.
Because they're, so the first time it was, they're only like 4 minutes.
Yeah, they're super fast.
15. And it's like a recap of one character's entire life.
Wanda and Vision for WandaVision.
That's all there.
But for the Winter Soldier and for whatever his name is.
Falcon.
The Falcon. There's Winter Soldier. There's Falcon.
I saw those.
There's Nemo or whatever his name is.
What?
The dude who read the book. The German dude who opened the book and read
the
it.
The bad guy?
Baron
von Nemo or something.
Yeah.
It's like Nemo for sure. There's the guy who wrote the book. And then the last one is someone I did not recognize and I didn't watch it because I got tired.
The 4 minutes. Yeah. I did watch the Winter Soldier and Falcon. They were both great. They're super good recaps of just everything that happened in the movies, everything that you forgot that you were like, "Oh yeah, he was in that scene. He did say that awesome thing."
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of a glimpse at what their motivation was in existence. And so definitely a great precursor before you jump into these new episodes, because it refreshes your memory on all the stuff you didn't know.
That's
I was like, Zemo sounds wrong.
Finding Zemo.
There is a Baron Strucker as well, but there's a Helmet Zemo.
What's the other one? Can you see it?
He just looked up the Nemo. What sounds like Nemo? That's what he Googled.
Oh. Zemo. So it's Zemo. And then the last one for Marvel Studios Legends is Sharon Carter.
Oh,
Agent Carter?
She's like the niece or the granddaughter or something that Captain America kissed and then left.
And then time travel. Yeah.
That is correct.
A whole story right there. Well, cool. I don't feel like I really wrapped up Wanda as well as I wanted to, because I feel like when I watched it, I was like, "This is great." Now it's been too long.
Yeah. I honestly didn't like it so much.
I enjoyed it. I didn't like that at the end they're like, "They'll never understand what you gave up." It's like, well, no, because you just kept them slaves for like a couple weeks. Of course they're not going to understand. You just tortured them
was, but you were obviously hurting them.
I think one of the reasons I didn't like... No, so I think that the first two episodes of WandaVision were really weird, but it obviously set the story.
Mm-hmm.
The middle episodes were great. Yeah. I didn't love how it ended, but I think one of the reasons I didn't love how it ended is because I don't love Captain Marvel. And I feel like they went that direction, like, a lot.
Oh, like she's just
like,
so powerful.
Like
kind
the
of
Captain, like Monica Rambeau is Captain Marvel, and she got powers. So I'm like, I don't love that storyline. Then at the end credit scene was the alien race from Captain Marvel. And I was like, I don't love this storyline. And then, so I just felt like,
Yeah,
give,
I'll
give
agree.
Me people I want to care about.
I think the alien Skrull thing is going to play huge into the next season of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I was also a little bit sad. It wasn't terrible, but I like the like unexplained magic and mutant stuff a little bit more than like the witchcraft rune stuff just in general.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, bummer that they're like doing all kinds of dark magic-y stuff. But I know that's also part of the Marvel world too.
Hulk. I need the Hulk to come back.
They haven't made a good one of those yet. Maybe one
I'm
day.
Not saying I need a Hulk movie. I could have used the Hulk special appearances as opposed to Skrull. Like, I want Hulk.
Well, I think the Hulk successor is Super Skrull, though. I think that's successor. The one who replaces
What's that even mean?
What is that?
I mean, it's a Skrull with, like, super strength and, like, real bulky.
I have seen that, but isn't just Smart Hulk
well,
the new
guy? Well, I think
they're
setting up the Young Avengers or whatever with Wanda's kids. They're, like, members of the Young Avengers, and one of them, I want to say, is Super Skrull. He's, like, the Hulk-type character.
And he gets shapeshift? I don't know what Super Skrull
is. Yeah, I don't really know. I'm not super familiar
be
with
handy.
It. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to say that like what they're putting out is not great. What they're putting out is great. But I was just like, man, there's so many characters that we loved, and you guys are spending a lot of time on
these secondary guys
who didn't do nothing for a lot of movies.
Well, I think you pointed this out, and I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but the timeline for everything got shifted as well.
Yep.
And so that'll be interesting to see what repercussions, if any, we notice. Because if you do go to last year and look at all the social media promo stuff about what order they were going to release all of these videos and TV shows and movies in, that all got shifted due to COVID, apparently. And now everything's kind of coming out in a different order, which may leave some gaps or may make it more interesting, or I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But
I do have to say, last time we talked about the previous episodes, and I said one of my favorite Loki moments was when he made that play reenacting his history,
mm-hmm.
and they just released that they're having that play out again with history that has been added with Hela. Except for Melissa McCarthy is playing Hela, which just cracks
incredible.
Me
up. Perfect.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier because the Captain America characters tend to focus more on intrigue. I think we'll get some really good intrigue. So we'll have to talk about that in the weeks ahead.
Stay tuned. We'll have more for you next time.
Bye.
Bye.